beautiful creators, and welcome to another episode of the Creators Marketing Method. I have a lit up and amazing conversation with Jenna, all about human design and how to apply that to your personal life and your business and what it's like to be an entrepreneur and how to take the haters and the naysayers and all of that in your lives and stick that in the closet so you can keep going and you can keep building what you love and keep sharing your beautiful products with the world. I'm so excited. It was such a great conversation and I'm really excited to share that with you. But before we dive into that, I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about abundance in the universe. So we don't create abundance, guys. Abundance is always present. It's just the state of the universe. It's just the state of what's going on. And that has to do with abundance, meaning like the flow of money, meaning abundance, meaning the flow of joy. All kinds of abundance are available to us in the world. What we do is we create limitations. So we limit that abundance. So we create the limitation. We create the block to getting more followers, to growing our businesses, to getting more money, to having more joy, to having more passion with our world. So unlearning is just as important, if not more important than learning, guys. So unlearn your limitations, your limiting beliefs, your doubts, your unresourceful habits, and your disempowering behaviors to unveil the abundance that's already surrounding you. This is like an important manifestation, guys. We're still at the beginning of 2020. We're still thinking about what goals we have for our businesses for 2020 and what to manifest in 2020. And so I think as we step into 2020 in our businesses, it's important to keep in mind. I was just coaching one of my clients the other day on stepping away from her feeling that there was no room for her new product. She's a jewelry designer and was like, there are so many jewelry designers on Etsy. Like, how can I possibly have an Etsy shop? How can I possibly have my own website? How can I possibly be creating content for social media about my jewelry when I'm competing against the millions and millions of jewelry creators out there? And, you know, she believed that there were so many people looking to sell jewelry that there was no way she'd be able to make a living doing it too. So I reminded her that no one had created her unique treasures and no one had her unique story. Her particular designs were different than anybody else's designs. Her particular story was different than anybody else's story. She was a unique being and she needed to build her unique tribe. And, you know, there's millions of people creating jewelry, but there's even more people buying jewelry. And even more people buying more jewelry. And so it's about carving out that space for yourself and realizing that, again, there is abundance in the universe. And the limiting belief is believing that there's so many jewelry creators that we can't create our space for ourselves. That's that limiting belief. And that's what we need to unlearn. Yeah. So I told my client, like, her tribe is out there. And I'll tell you guys the same. Your tribe is out there waiting to hear your story and waiting to hear you and waiting to wear your unique jewelry, buy your unique art, engage with your unique products. You're just holding yourself back if you believe that there's no space for you because there's so many other people. And so, yeah, if you want to blast through your limiting beliefs in 2020, start writing down what you think those limiting beliefs are, what's holding you back. And yeah, I really encourage you to think about that and try to think about things in like slightly new way in order to show up in the world. And one way you can do that is through something I'm cooking up for you guys that just launched. It's brand new. I have a brand new group of people going through it. And it's my Selling Through Stories, the Creative Entrepreneur's Answer to Authentic Marketing 7-day course. So if you're waiting until you have more, you know, time, money, experience to invest in your business, and you've been on the sidelines about coaching and about investing in that, stop waiting for the right time, guys. There's no such thing, first of all. When I started the Creators Marketing Method, I so didn't feel ready. I had a beginner's mindset and it would allow me to take the chances and bet on myself, which actually paid off. So I can say after growing my business to 6 figures, I'm convinced that the perfect time does not exist, guys. It actually takes diving in and starting the work to know what you don't know and start to build based on your audience's unique feedback. Any entrepreneur will tell you, until you start to go out there and start to do and start to market and start to sell and all of that, you don't know what you don't know. If you wait, you're doing yourself no favors, because imperfect action today is what you actually need, or you will never get your passion project off the ground. So instead of missed opportunities while you wait for time to catch up, ask yourself, what do I want and what am I prepared to do to get what I want? Whew, that's something. That's a question, right? Have you been avoiding taking action and need help getting started right away? If so, I have the perfect way for you to get started in just 7 days. And that's that 7-day course I just talked about. In the 7-day course, I'll teach you everything you need to know to start telling your unique story and selling your unique products and attracting dreamy paying customers to your business. So I can't wait to walk you step by step towards attracting more dreamy clients to your creative business. And just, it's just like 20 to 30 minutes a day for 7 days, guys. And even better, I've priced this so that it fits into any budget. So reach out to me at Gina Ireland, DM me on Insta at Gina, G-I-N-A-I-R-E-L-A-N-D. And let me know that you're interested in the 7-day course. Would love, love, love to have you guys on board. Again, it's just 20 to 30 minutes for 7 days. It's priced for less than you probably paid for your shoes, your last pair of shoes. So take all your Christmas money and invest in yourself and invest in your business. With that said, I want to turn to my amazing conversation with Jenna. We talk about, again, human design. We talk about some spirituality, a lot of new things for the pod, as well as talking about what that means for you and your business and for making 2020 be the year that everything changes for you and that you're able to get more clients into your business, make 6 figures, and sell those dreamy products to those dreamy clients. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Jenna. Hey, Jenna, welcome to the Creators Marketing Method podcast. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I know this has been a long time coming. For the listeners, Jenna and I were like tag teaming some kind of virus like across the country because I would lose my voice and have to like reschedule, and then she would lose her voice all over the holidays. And I personally blame Luna, my 2-year-old niece, who kept bringing me daycare germs. But I know there was a lot going on. And yeah, I just thank you for being flexible and us both being healthy today and ready for this conversation.
Yes. Thank you for your patience as well. Like I said before, I was just like, I feel that the universe is just going to bring us together when the conversation is supposed to happen.
Exactly. All in the right timing. And the universe was giving us some downloads about maybe we needed to slow down for the holidays. I know I needed it for sure. All right. Well, let's start off with, tell my listeners a little bit about your story. How did you get to where you are today? How do you serve your clients? What are you passionate about? And what, makes you so happy to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah. Well, whenever someone asks me this, I'm like, where to start? I guess off the top though, like definitely what I'm most passionate about is human design. That's my love. And have you heard of human design before?
I have, but I have not spoken about it on the podcast. So take us from the beginning and give my listeners a little introduction to what human design is and what it means to you.
Yeah, for sure. So human design is a system. Sometimes I say it's similar to astrology in the way that you need your birth date, your exact birth time, birth date, birthplace. And essentially it's a map, I like to say, of your design when you come into this world. So astrology is like the planets and whatever at the end, what's going on in the world at the time you're born. And human design is very specific and gets really into your body. So it's the energies that you hold within your body and energetically how you're supposed to move throughout the world. And it's so, for me, it was just like when I learned about it and I learned my design type, so many things clicked. So there's 5 different design types. There's projectors, which is what I am. So of course I'm going to start with that. Projectors were 20% of the population. So we're on the minority side. And projectors are kind of the newest of the types, and we're here to guide energy. So there's generators and manifesting generators, which make up 70% of the population. And the generator type is the type that is the creators of energy. So they are here to literally be lit up by what they love doing. And then they create energy in the world. So that is obviously why we need 70% of the world to be generators, because we need these creators of energy. And then manifestors are another type. They are 8% of the population. So they're kind of, again, on the minority side. And they are here to inform. So they get an idea, they inform, they say, this is what's happening, but they don't necessarily have the energy like a generator does to build it and create it and move through it. So historically, manifestors were actually seen or were royalty. So it's kind of like
fascinating.
Yeah, super interesting. So it was like, you know, these kings and queens of times past that were getting these ideas and saying, this is what we're doing. And then the generators would build this vision for those manifestors. So very interesting. And then the most interesting, I think, is reflectors, which are 1% of the population. And they are just completely open. They have almost like no internal energy, and they're taking everything from around them. They are the literal reflectors of the society. So we kind of say, like, if you were living in a tribe or you know, a group of 10 people, and there's one person that's your reflector, you kind of gauge how well you're doing by looking back at this reflector. You know, if the reflector's on the ground, sick, dying, whatever, you're like, we're doing something wrong here. The reflector is not doing well. So that's kind of their job in society, is to reflect back how we're doing. And I guess for my story, I came from a farming background.
Really? I had no idea about that.
Yeah. So amazing. I grew up on a farm in small town, rural Saskatchewan, which is a province here in Canada. And like very small. I sometimes when I feel when I talk to people from other countries, I'm like, no, my province, based like my state equivalent, has 1 million people in the whole province. The town I grew up near had 150 people. Very, very small town growing up, and yeah, farming background. So
I bet your email list now is bigger than your town.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my followers on Instagram are bigger than the town I grew up in. Yeah, so it's interesting because, yeah, I grew up in this, in the small farming town. And it was, I feel like when I hear sometimes, you know, people's spiritual stories, or you get into this realm, and I feel sometimes I hear these stories of, oh, my mom was like into tarot, but she never, you know, brought me in and whatever. And I'm like, I had zeros, like no, there was nobody doing anything like this or talking about this ever growing up. Like, this is something I discovered later in life for sure. Mm-hmm. But when I did discover it, it was, everything just felt right. Everything clicked. And so, but it's interesting. And I love that I grew up on a farm, and I love that I grew up in that background. There's just so many beautiful lessons, and that sense of community that you have when you grew up in such a small place. You know, there's the pros and cons. Everyone knows your business, but on the other end, I mean, everyone knows your business. So when you're going through something, everyone is, you know, there for you and so supportive. Yeah, it's amazing. And even reflecting, you know, on the farming, there was so much, you know, hard work and all of that instilled within me, because there was always something to do, and we were always cleaning bins or doing whatever. But there was also this real sense of honoring Mother Nature and respecting her, and that our livelihood depended on the cycles of Mother Nature.
Sure. That makes total sense. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. And it was funny because when I was a child, I said to my dad all the time, I couldn't be a farmer because it stresses me out that you don't have this control over, you don't have control over when it's going to rain next. And you just put, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars into the ground and you don't know if that's going to pay off for you, you know, like that, it like stresses me out. Right. And it was so funny because he always just said, you know, like he just loved it. And he,
But isn't that like an amazing lesson for like our businesses? I mean, we can, you know, not to get, I don't know, too in the weeds here, but no pun intended. We can like plant all the seeds. We can put out our content. We can put out our products. We can create beautiful art, all of that. And sometimes it takes a little longer to get those customers, to get traction in our businesses, all of that. And we don't have control over things like the Instagram algorithm, things like what other, you know, people are going to want to spend their money on and all of that. And it's all about just, yeah, continuing to show up and continuing to do the work because you know eventually it's going to come through.
Totally. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't even, you know, necessarily think of it in that way, but as you're saying it, I was nodding along. So yes, for sure.
It's so funny how that can, it's like, it's all full circle, right? It's like thought you were getting away from something and really it's like, no, it's just all always there.
100%. And I think for me too, the lesson that I had kind of taken away from that myself, just, you know, and how my dad reacted to things, it was like, when you love doing something so much, it doesn't even matter, you know, the things that are out of your control because you just love doing it and you just learn to, you know, go with the punches and
yes,
you know, you figure it out along the way.
So true. So true. So true.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I grew up on a farm. I moved to the big city of Saskatoon, 250,000 people, like that's a big city. And went to university and got my bachelor's of commerce with a major in marketing. So I do have a marketing background. And then I went traveling for a little bit. And when I came back, I was, you know, working for a government agency for a bit. And then I got into sales. And so that's kind of been my background for the past few years, was working for a beer company and being a sales rep for them for over 4 years. So that was a huge chunk of my 20s.
Yeah. And I bet a lot of good learning experience because in our businesses, obviously we're all, as entrepreneurs, we're all in sales. I mean, that's 100%. Part of what we do. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. There was, by the end, I had gotten kind of resentful of it and the projector not self is bitterness. And I was definitely getting that bitterness feel. I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't know any of this at the time, but in looking back, I'm like, oh, there's the bitterness showing up.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Not happy in what I was doing. But yeah, there was also so many lessons, so much learning, so many experiences that I never would have gotten, you know. It was like a large beer company. So we're going to different, you know, sporting events and you're meeting all these different people and going to concerts and you know, you get the like VIP pass because you work for the company and especially as a sales rep because you're, you know, then taking clients and you're hosting people. And so, yeah, it's so interesting because I've definitely looked back and seen that there was a lot of, yeah, so much learning because I was essentially running my own business. Like we were given a certain amount of money. This is your budget for the year. These are your clients. Here's your expectations and run with it. So I was learning to build my own schedule, use my own budget, meet all of these different KPIs, key performance indicators.
And yeah.
So yeah, there's so many, and even just the people part of things. I've always been good with people and able to just talk to anyone and build relationships and connections. But definitely there was a lot of times where there was difficult people to deal with, shady people to deal with.
Sure.
And
you were, it sounds like you weren't living in alignment with what you're passionate about.
No, definitely not. It was super fun. Like I definitely, you know, in your early to mid 20s, when you get credit card and basically unlimited beer, you're like, I am living my best life. This is the best time ever.
Love that.
And of course, again, at that young age too, when everyone, again, smaller city, for me it was a big city, but you realize how small it became, you kind of become like, I don't even know, like an icon. That's a weird word to say, but everyone like knew who I was.
I got what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you're that beer rep.
You're like, oh, I don't want to be reduced to, nothing against being a beer rep, but it's like, obviously, I mean, anybody, you know, when we're thinking about, you know, who are you in a community? Who are you in your tribe? All of that. Like I think that's the journey of your 20s, right? Like figuring 100%. Out, what you want that to be. And maybe you thought you wanted that to be, you know, a credit card and unlimited beer. And then you're like, oh, wait, there's more here. And is that when you found Human Design?
So for a while, I'd been looking for different jobs because, as you said, I realized things weren't aligned. Mm-hmm. Again, and looking back, I realized it's very easy to wear the mask of putting on that, like, basically you could walk into a room and I'm Jenna, I'm the beer rep. And that like says everything anyone needs to know about you.
I mean,
not totally, obviously, but it kind of does, right? Like everyone gets this image or this, you know, this is who you are versus as we step into the entrepreneurship and it becomes so much more about yourself. It becomes a lot scarier. I feel like I've been dealing a little bit with that even in the last few days.
Okay. Talk to me about that. Is it a vulnerability, a fear of vulnerability or a fear? What is that scariness that you're talking about?
Yeah. I think for me, it's been, fear of judgment and the judgment of others and how when I was, you know, this sales rep, then I just got to wear the mask of this is my job. This is what I do. This is essentially who I am. Like it took over my life. That was another reason I left because it was...
Makes sense. Yeah.
So all consuming. And for a while, like we said, it's the journey of your 20s. For a while, that felt good. That felt like, yes, I'm cool. I'm the cool girl. I'm the beer rep. I have fun. I party. I drink. I do this. And then, after a few years, you're like, no, I'm my own person and this doesn't fit. And then as I step into this side of myself, there's so much vulnerability and, you know, you're opening yourself up to judgment that feels more personal, I guess, because if someone said something about me when I'm wearing this mask, then it kind of doesn't matter. It kind of rolls off the mask because I know that subconsciously, I know I'm wearing this mask, and that's
it's
not
like a buffer.
Who I am. Yeah, it's what I do. It's what I do, and I know a lot of people still like to draw that line of you know. And I do think that is healthy. It's something I'm going to need to figure out for myself. That you know, even though this entrepreneurship journey is so much a part of me, it still is what I do, and not totally who I am. But it's hard because it's like so much of this is coming from my heart and what I love to share with
people.
I hear you on that.
You're wrapped up in the brand. Yeah, no, it is. But it's also making sure we have that self-worth and that skin, that thick skin, because you're going to get those. You know, like yesterday, I got this guy who like hopped into my DMs, on Instagram. I don't even know how he found me. And he's all just like hating on me. And I'm like, who are you? Like what? And he's like, you know, you should pay me to do what you do and like all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. And then I had to like, I actually started engaging and my partner, Chris, was like, what are you doing? Why are you engaging with that person? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's that thing where it's like, well, this is my business. This is me. This is my, you know, this is me. I'm all wrapped up in this. And so I want to convince him to like me.
Yeah.
And it's like when you start to do that, you're like really in trouble. And,
yes.
You know, fortunately, I'm further along in the journey. So I was able to kind of like stop that. And I'm like, yeah, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like block this person, move on. But yeah, I know a lot of my clients, especially that first time you're like putting yourself out there, you're being vulnerable, you're telling your story, all of that. And that first time you get a little bit of negativity or less receptivity than you want or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you feel like a punch in the gut, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you do
100%.
When you feel yourself being, I don't know, being sucked into that vortex of like dealing with like some of the haters or whatever? Or maybe it's not even online. Maybe it's just a family member or a friend who's like, I don't know, Jenna, this like business thing, you know?
I'm like, wow, you're speaking right to me. I've had all of that for sure.
I mean, we all have, right, lady?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think for me, and I think it's just as you go, you kind of learn the lessons and you have that experience and then you kind of maybe stumble at first and then you pick yourself up. I know just when you were saying this, it was something so small, but it was one of the first things that like totally punched me in the gut. I posted something on Facebook, which also is so funny because I felt like this was a lesson from the universe saying you instinctually knew to just stick to Instagram. That's like where your followers are for now, at least. And Facebook doesn't feel aligned in the moment, but it was like my marketing brain was like, well, I should be posting on Facebook. I should be doing a sponsored ad or whatever on Facebook. So I post this, do an ad on Facebook for my business when I was offering Reiki sessions. And then I got a laugh. Like someone laughed at the post. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, punch in the gut. And I was just like, oh my God. I think I might have even cried just because I need to like process those emotions. And
nothing
so
wrong
just,
with processing it. Yeah. Letting it
totally,
flow through you. Yeah.
Yes,
all of that.
Yes. Like very important for me to like not, because I was this little shocker growing up on a farm. We didn't deal with our emotions. It was more of a stuffing down and we don't have them. So that's, again, that was like, as I became my own person as an adult learning and through therapy learning, like, yeah, it's time to process things. So yeah, process that emotion and kind of, you know, withdraw a little bit and just reflect on myself. Like what, yeah, like you did, what am I doing here? How am I reacting to this? Why is this feeling so emotional for me? Why do I feel like this is a punch in the gut? And as you said, it was just the process of like figuring out that I'm putting myself out there and there's going to be all sorts of reactions, but I don't have to take that personally. It also though then made me kind of realign and go, okay, my gut had told me like, let's stick to Instagram and mm-hmm. have a presence on Facebook, but perhaps it doesn't need to be, you know, ads, kind of the realigning, you know,
I put myself sure.
kind of got something that I didn't feel so great about. Is this something? And as then I was looking at even the ad itself and the metrics that had just been put up by Facebook and I hadn't like tailored them to myself at all. It was just, you know, the basic metrics. And I was looking at the age ranges. I'm like, yeah, no wonder this didn't resonate with the people that this was targeted to, because that isn't my target audience. So mm-hmm. again, that realignment of, okay, maybe that was a little bit of a sign for me of I'm not reaching the right people. So
yeah, and niching down, I've been there. Yeah,
yeah.
I think I got more hate on my first round of ads than I've gotten, you know, in all the other time combined, because it really was, yeah, about that going back into my audience on Facebook and yeah, like niching down, being really clear about who I'm speaking to and why I'm speaking to them. And yeah, it's really about turning all those dials to be more specific, more specific. I mean, that's what I teach my clients, both for their organic content, making sure every time you post to social, every time you send out an email, a blog, whatever, you have your ideal client in mind and yeah. you're being very crystal clear about speaking to him or her or whatever. And then in ads, it's even another layer of that. So yeah, I hear you on that for sure.
Totally. And then for me, also, since learning human design, that's another piece that has been added on for me and a realization of the way that I move throughout the world. And so for a projector, our strategy in life is to wait for the invitation. So as a projector, do you know your type, by the way?
I actually don't. I should, but I don't. I've had it read before and then I forgot. Sorry, guys.
Well, if you know your birth time and all of that information, you let me know. I can look up.
Yeah, we should like offline, yeah, do a little reading. I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Speaking of which, right before, and I'm going to stop your flow, but back to that. But so for my listeners, like if they want to know about their type and understand human design a little bit, what resources would you recommend?
Yeah, I would for sure recommend, well, you can follow me on Instagram. I am the fair one.
And guys, we'll all of these resources that Jenna's about to talk about, we'll definitely put in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. Another person to follow on Instagram is Jenna Zoe. And
J-E-N-A-Z-O-E.
Yes, love her too. She is who I did my training with. She's the one that I follow for basically all of my human design information. Her interpretation of human design, she follows human design to a T, of course, but she just interprets it in such a way that's empowering and just such a beautiful way. So she's definitely like the human design person to follow.
Okay.
And also Erin Claire Jones. I've heard her on a few podcasts and follow her. And she has quite a bit of information also on Instagram. But also if you want to look up your type, you need to know your exact birth time, birth date, your place of birth. And then you can pull up your chart and it's for free. You can do it at mybodygraph.com.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you can look it up yourself. It'll give you your type, your strategy, your not self. It'll show you this picture of like a body with a bunch of triangles and squares and lines, and things will be colored black and red. And so if it can be like a little overwhelming if you don't know what you're looking at, but it does break it down in a good way just to get the very basics of your type and strategy and not self. And then if you want to dive deeper, then definitely reach out to me because I do design readings and I can dive into the chart with people because there's so much information in the charts. It's amazing. I'm like a nerd out. I'm obsessed with
it. Love it. Yeah, no, definitely guys, reach out to Jenna and definitely get it read. You won't regret it. I think it's a great tool, not only in our personal lives and all of this, but this is a business podcast. So all about your business. Like how do you show up as the CEO of your business? What ways are you expending your energy and how can you do, you know, what you need to do within your business and within your teams and within your art creation and all of that, more in alignment with, you know, your true self and who you are and all of that.
100%. So well said.
Thank you.
100%. Yeah. That's what I want to, or what I do and help people with is recognizing, you know, this is your unique way of moving throughout the world. And it's, again, for me, it just resonated so much too, because then I started to realize all of these, there's so much motivational speakers and quotes and all this stuff that tends to be very either generator focused, because of course 70% of the world is generators. So when they say listen to your gut, which is a generator thing, of course that makes sense for them and, you know, 70% of the world. So it resonates with a lot of people. Also manifestors, just their type, they tend to kind of rise to the top and they're the inform people. So they're the ones that are always saying, this is the way to do it. This is my way. This is the way to do it. Of course, that makes sense if you're a manifestor, but as a projector, those things don't necessarily work for us. So when I found out about human design and my type and the way that I move throughout the world, I was like, oh my God, everything makes sense. Like, thank goodness I found this. And like you said, it's for me, it's a tool that I use to help me along. I don't define myself by, I'm a projector and I follow this dogma and I follow, my chart to a T. It's not that. It's like taking the pieces that I learn from human design and it giving me basically all the things that I've ever felt about myself, that I want to sleep for a long time, that I want to sleep alone a lot of the times. That's all Jen is always like says, oh, projectors should sleep alone because we have so many open centers. And I'm like, oh my God, all of these things I've intuitively felt my whole life. Now someone's just confirming this and giving me permission to be myself and saying like, it's because you're a projector. It's okay to feel that way.
Do you own a creative e-commerce online business? Are you worried that you won't be able to make enough revenue to support yourself? Are you spending lots of time on social media trying to get followers with no sales to show for your efforts? Hi, I'm Gina, and I work with jewelry designers, artists, and Etsy creators to help them reach and surpass their monthly revenue goals. I'm popping in here today to tell you about my free ebook, 7 Easy and Simple Steps to Add Soul to Your Marketing. I wrote this free ebook for people just like you who want to achieve 6 figures in their product-based businesses. In fact, these are the exact steps I teach my high-ticket clients. My clients have doubled and even tripled their revenue by following these steps. If you want a marketing plan that takes less time and offers more results, then this guide is for you. Just text CREATORS, CREATORS, to 66866. That's 66866. To get my free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing plan and explode your income. I remember when mine was read, and I wish I could tell you the details, but it's been too long. So I think you need to give me a refresher after this interview. But it's all about getting back to, all of those things that you really do know about yourself already. Mm-hmm. But at least for me, I get caught up in this, like what I should be doing and how I should be moving through the world. And so I push myself to be more of that. And it's like, and not that that's wrong. Like, look, like we all need to like interact in the real world and, do things that are not necessarily our favorite things to do some of the time. But it's like knowing that when you're stepping outside of that bubble, you're cognizant of that and you put, protections and different things in place. So when you are moving away from who you truly are, how you truly want to be in the world, you are able to go back, if that makes sense.
Totally. And that's exactly how I felt about when I found human design. It was that it's just like you said, it's because I have a hard time with when people get into something and it's like, this is the gospel and this is the way I shall live my life. And because I'm a Scorpio, therefore I am this. And it was never that like that. It was more, oh, wow. Thank goodness I found something that brings me back to myself. All of these intuitive things I've always felt about myself, but the world has told me is wrong or I should do it. Like you said, the shoulding. We have to stop shoulding.
I love that. Yes.
I've heard a few people say that. Every time I hear it, I'm like, yes, we need to stop shoulding all over ourselves.
Oh, I know. I just heard Cleo Wade. Do you know Cleo Wade?
Yes.
Yeah. I just heard her say that on, I think, Oprah's podcast or somebody. And I was like, yes.
We need everyone to start saying that, I think. It needs to be on t-shirts and whatever, everywhere.
100.
It's so true. And again, this is why I do this, because I just want us to, my process is decondition, reawaken, and empower. So I want you to decondition from who the world told you to be, who or how the world thought you should show up, all of the things that we've learned from our experiences, our parents, our family, our previous jobs at whatever. And then for me, the biggest tool that has helped me with that is human design and helping give me this permission slip of like, this is who you are, fall into that, help me to reawaken to who I am, reawaken my intuition, learn how to listen to myself, my body. And again, that's another thing within human design. We have different inner voices. So there's different, you know, some people have we have different authorities is what the term is in human design. So there's like these five types, your projector, your generator, your whatever. But then we also have this inner authority. So there's either a chakra or something that speaks to you most highly that helps you with decision making. So for about 50% of the population, it's their solar plexus, which is the emotional center in human design. So people need to ride an emotional wave before making a decision so they don't get caught in like the high of their emotional wave or the low, you know, making a decision when I'm feeling super happy and then it turns out to not be aligned, or, you know, I'm really low and then I say no to things that actually were aligned. So it's about 50% of the population has that. The sacral center is found in generators, and that's the gut response. So that's, there's like this inner gut response. When you feel lit up by something, you almost have like a full body yes to it. And if you are, you know, if you're not lit up by it, there'll probably be either no response or you'll get like that full body, like no. So it's interesting because when I, you know, you hear these things, like if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. I'm like, oh, that's such a generator. Like some generator pick that up, or like the listen to your gut, listen to your gut. I'm like, oh, generator advice, you know, love that. Then there's so many different ones. Mine is the spleen. So mine is, it's a very soft, intuitive knowing. It's interesting because when I learned that too, I was like, okay, this makes so much sense because I do always have this intuition. And so the spleen is also like very in the moment. It's a split second response. You just know the right answer and then it goes away and you can't get it back. So versus the gut response, you can like kind of test it. You can, you know, say, do I want this? Yes. Or do I want this? No. The spleen is like a one hit wonder. It's like, it's here. It gives you that intuitive response right in the moment and you have to catch that. And then like, otherwise you kind of vote. So again, this is like for me, so empowering because there's so many times where I'm like, okay, that makes sense. There's been so many moments when I feel something is right for me right in the moment, but then my mind takes over and, you know, the shoulding and whatever takes over and I don't know. And then I have been, you know, you listen to like different self-help, and this was again before I really knew my design, you know, listen to my gut and try to test my gut if it's a yes or a no. And it was never working for me. And I couldn't ever figure out like why can't I get this answer again? And then yeah, when I found out this for me, it's listening to my spleen, it's listening in the moment right away, it won't come back. I was like, okay. I love that. Now I know that when I have that soft knowing come right in the moment, that's the thing I need to listen to. And it has helped me so much. Yeah, it's just, like I said, I just nerd out about human design because it has me so, so much. It's, and in everything, as in business as well. So yeah, kind of circling back to waiting for the invitation. So a projector's kind of best way to move in life and in business as well is to put our things out there. So you do like the thing that resonates with you, what you love to do, and you just put it out there, present it. And then the people that want your information will find you. It's interesting because I took a kind of a branding mini course with a friend of mine. And she, I found out afterwards, was a projector, which made so much sense because she talked about the lighthouse effect and that if you are just standing on the shore and you are the lighthouse and you just shine your light brightly, the people will find you. They will come to you. They will come to your lighthouse.
I love that. Yeah. And the right people, your tribe. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, that's such a projector thing. And then when I found out she's a projector, I'm like, of course, that would be your philosophy, which is so true for anyone that's a projector. It's more about just doing what you love, putting it out there, and not necessarily kind of like going after people, because that's not your energetic way to do things. It's more of you do the hustle yourself and you do it because you love to do it and you do it because you believe in it and you put the information out there and you get into all the right channels. And you know, you have to obviously be savvy about it, and putting yourself in the right, you know, right places and things are aligned. But it's not, you know, trying to go out there and really grab people and get them and solicit them and whatever. Like, they will come to you. It's more of this like passive. Yes, I don't want to say passive, but I think you know what I'm saying. Like the people,
I do know what you're saying for sure. It's about tribe building, and it's about I love the Gabby Bernstein idea of this. It's like not pushing, but allowing. So it's about, obviously, in our businesses, we're going to do the work to put content out there, to put our products out there, to tell our stories and all that good stuff. But we're not necessarily pushing. We are in service. We're in the flow.
Yes.
We're allowing that kind of feeling. It's just a little shift, but it makes, first of all, for me anyways, it makes the whole entrepreneurship journey so much more enjoyable.
Yes.
And I think it works better. That's something, we talk about in my programs a lot.
That, like, yeah.
Letting go, letting the universe take care of your intentions.
Yes. Yes. No, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And I think just another thought came to me.
Yeah.
Kind of getting to my story, I guess, that the kind of, for me, the really big shift into this realm and out of, you know, sales and drinking beer and having fun. There was actually the universe hit me on the head a few times with things. I'm like,
love when the universe does that. You're like, you're like, I didn't get the message the first three times, so thank you.
Oh, honestly, it's like you keep saying that you don't want to be in this job or the city anymore and you don't do anything about it. So we're going to make it unbearable for you to get on this way. Until you finally move. And then it's so funny because, when I said, so I was living in Saskatoon, I had roommates living, working in this sales job, and we were talking about renewing our lease. And my roommate said to me something about, like, if you move to Calgary, which is the city I live in now. And back then I said, it's not a matter of if I move to Calgary, it's a matter of when. And it's so funny because in that moment, I didn't know. But looking back, that confirmation and affirmation to the universe was like, boom, click.
And then you allowed everything to fall into place so you could make that move. I love it.
Yes. It was crazy how I said that. And honest to goodness, within a month, my roommate had found a new house that she bought. Moved out of our place. I quit my job without even having another job in Calgary. I moved to Calgary with no vehicle, no job, no place to live. I just was like, I'm going, I know it will work out. And I mean, I say that, whatever, but I had a friend that I could live with.
Sure.
I did, the vehicle thing was on purpose because, you know, when you cross state lines or province lines, you have to do different things. I was like, I'll just buy the vehicle in that province. I came here. I actually, right after I had gave my notice at my old job, I got a new job out here like days. And so when I moved here, I did have a job, found a place within a week, and I found a vehicle within like 2 days. So everything clicked into place when I made that affirmation, like, no, I am doing this. But it took a lot of hits on the head, I guess. And also kind of before that, real big shift was when my grandpa passed away. I don't know what it was, but I've always felt that like the people that you love are there for you in, you know, mm-hmm. whatever space that comes afterwards. And again, this is like before I'm into any spirituality, I'm just driving down the road in my sales job, crying, thinking about how miserable I am in my life and how if my grandpa has passed away and now is with me, would he be proud of me? Ooh. And the life I'm living. And I kept thinking like, no, because I'm not happy in my life. So I don't think he would be happy with how things are going for me also. So that's when I started to really take time for myself. Because before in this job, it was like, you had to, there's all these expectations of seeing so many customers in a day and you had all this paperwork to do in the evening and you were supposed to go to all of these events and do all mm-hmm. of this stuff. So it was really, and I allowed it. I mean, as much as I say, like it took over my life there, I had zero boundaries. I allowed it to take over my life.
Sure. So we're learning.
Learning. Yeah. So then I started putting those up and like, okay, I love to sing and my grandpa always loved my voice. So I wanted to join a choir and, you know, found a choir within like an hour after me making this list of things I wanted to do. And I started doing yoga once a week. Again, just like small things. It was like choir once a week and yoga once a week. But that changed so much because I started doing things for myself and things that made me and my body happy. And as I started getting into, all of these things that made me feel good, then it almost becomes this like snowball effect of such a Canadian thing to say. Sorry, I look outside, it's snowing right now. I say snowball effect. But things start to, then I'm like, okay. And then I get into therapy and I start doing a lot more inner work. And then a few months later, my dad got sick with rectal cancer, which was like really shitty, literally. it was, then that was another big shift for me as well. That seeing, kind of putting things in perspective of our medical system. In Canada, we have an amazing medical system, you know, mm-hmm. universal healthcare, but it, just the way that we go about things and how we're very symptom focused and it's never preventative. It's always reactive.
Sure. Western medicine 100. Yeah,
exactly.
It and serves its purpose, but it's not the whole thing.
That's exactly what I say. I'm not saying there's no place for Western medicine. Obviously there is, that we so need it. I'm so thankful for Western medicine.
But 100.
I think that we have almost, the pendulum has swung so much on the one end that we don't realize there's other things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my dad got surgery and all this and he's in massive pain and he keeps going to the doctor and saying, you know, like, so much pain, I'm in so much pain, what's going on? And they just keep upping his prescription for pain meds. And he's like, you guys, I'm a hardcore farmer, dude. I can handle pain. It's the fact that there's something else going on and why is no one doing this mm-hmm. at this? And so then he starts going to a physiotherapist and realizes he has nerve damage and all of this stuff. So it was just like, I kind of got a little jaded on the whole system. And again, that kind of further pushed me into, okay, I want to prevent this from ever happening to me. I don't want to get cancer, you know, and I don't, or any other health issue for that matter. And I'm young and I'm healthy and I want to stay this way for as long as I can. So what can I be doing for myself that really prevents any of this, prevents me from having to go to the doctor and the first mm-hmm. thing they say is they're going to slice into me? Like, I don't know. There's some things, about the Western medicine that I'm not sure about, but I just, it really changed the way I looked at health, I guess. And it really changed how I even looked at life and how I wanted to be living my life. And it kind of, again, snowballed on that of my grandpa. And then, you know, like thinking of losing your dad, and life is unpredictable and we don't know what's going to happen. And if I don't know how long I'm going to be here for, do I want to be living the way that I have been? And
yes,
that was like, okay, again, then you kind of like just go down the rabbit hole of, you know, Light is the New Black was by Rebecca Campbell, probably one of the first spiritual books that I ever read. And it is amazing and life-changing. And then you read this and you listen to this podcast and you read this book and things just start to make more sense. And I guess also in astrology, then this past year or so, I was going through my Saturn return. So I don't know if do you know what that means? Or like, I guess I could.
No, please, for the listeners. Yeah. Just talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
Astrology, I'm less informed on. Human design is like my baby, my love.
Sure.
Astrology, I have more of like a passing knowledge and like, I know my chart and I know a few things. I'm not like just a Cosmo horoscope reader, but I know basically though for a Saturn return, it happens around age 29. It's when Saturn, the planet Saturn, returns to its place that it was on the day that you were born. So, and Saturn is the planet of like hard love, hard lessons. And essentially during or leading up to your Saturn return, if you're not really living your life the way that you are meant to or feel aligned with, then Saturn is just going to really shake it up. So a lot of times, like it could be anything.
And been there. I mean, my story. Yeah. I mean, this is, I think, a lot of our stories. It's that living, working those corporate jobs and realizing we want to sell our art on a full-time basis. It's that 20s of finding ourselves and thinking we're one thing and trying to live into that one thing and then realizing that we're actually something else or that we actually belong somewhere else or whatever, however you want to say that. So yeah, no, for sure. I think that was a lot of my clients. That's a very powerful part of their life.
Totally. And the one astrologer I listened to as well, she kind of explained it as, this is when you fully become an adult. Basically anything before 29, you're not really an adult. We think we are, but we're not. I mean, that's kind of flippant to say that, but it's because Saturn,
I mean,
it's really
a simple way of saying, like, honestly, yeah, what I do believe, it's like you're still going out in the world and you're finding yourself and you're figuring it all out. And look, that's lifelong work and that's going to continue to shift and all of that. But I think it's a very pivotal time where you're just being in the world and you're figuring out how to be in the world. And it's such a powerful time. I mean, I think it's when we really truly find what our passions are, what our purpose is and our reason why and what we want to do. And that, you know, can't be rushed.
110,000%. Yes, 100%. Yeah. It can be tough. And I think for a lot of people it is. I mean, for me, it was interesting because it was tough, and I don't know if it's because I had all this spiritual knowledge or all of this Scorpio in my chart that I'm here. I'm okay with the deep, dark, spiritual shadow, you know, transformational work. Even though I could feel that I wasn't myself and that things were like shifting and things were weird, and I wasn't sure what was going on. I always knew like, this is temporary. I know that I'm going through this and there's going to be like the other side of this. I know that this isn't forever.
And I think that's so true about all stages when we're going into a state of flux or change or anything. And that can be, you know, applied to our personal lives, of course, and also our businesses. You know, when we're launching a new product, we don't know what we don't know until we get out there and we start to do that. And that's when the change and the momentum really starts to happen.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
Love it. Yeah. Well, this has been such an amazing conversation. I know this is the first time we've really talked about human design on the podcast and all of that. And so I thank you for that. And I would love for my listeners to be able to get in touch with you. I know we mentioned earlier, and we're going to put in the show notes, which is one more time. Where can my listeners find you if they're interested in learning a little bit more about human design and how to apply it to their own journeys?
Yeah. So if you want to just pull up your chart on your own, you know, kind of basic starter, you can go to mybodygraph.com, need your exact birth time, birthplace, and birth date. And, but if you're interested in getting your chart read and diving a little deeper and putting it all together, because you can pull up the chart and it gives you some stuff, but it's kind of the whole, you know, looking at the pieces instead of it all together and understanding the whole. I know as I learned more human design and things, you know, got put together, the whole story makes a lot more sense than just knowing, you know, each individual piece. So yeah, if you're interested in getting your chart read, you can find me on Instagram at I am the fair one, or you can email me jenna@thefairone.ca, or check out my website, which is where I have my offerings and bookings and all of that. And the website is thefairone.ca.
Beautiful. And we'll definitely include those in the show notes. But thank you so much, Jenna, for lending us some of your time and speaking to my listeners and teaching them a little bit about human design, how to apply that to their businesses and their personal lives. This has been really wonderful.
Love it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on and inviting me. It was such a projector way for me that you invited me on here. So
love it.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. And I can't believe that time just passed so quickly.
Oh, I know. It's like the best conversations are like that. And I know my listeners listening will be like, wow, I can't believe that we're already at the end of the episode. But if you feel that way, definitely reach out to Jenna because she has a lot of great content on her Instagram and in other places. And you can keep going on the journey with her.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care, Jenna.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been the Creators Marketing Method. Thanks for joining me today. Text creators to 66866. That's CREATORS to 66866 to get my free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing message to explode your income. Lots of soulful goodness, guys. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.